We have unfinished business. So I want to do a quick review for those who were not here last week. We actually started a message where the members were responsible for helping me to preach my message. Amen. All those who helped me last week, raise your hand. All those who helped me last week. 1, 2, 3. Charlena, you're not raising your hand. You were one of those. You got a paper, right? You got a paper. Beside all those who got papers, we also got some people in the congregation participated in helping us to get answers, right? Yes. David was one. Gordon was one. Trying to think of somebody else that was instrumental in explaining to us. Okay. All right. So one of the questions that was brought up was first to define the church. What is the church? So we recognize from our discussion that the church is the people of God, that the church are the called out ones. The Greek word ekklesia that's used in the New Testament to describe the church comes from two Greek words, ek, which means out of, kaleo, which means to call. So those who are called out, and we discovered that that was actually used by the Greek Senate before the Christians baptized the word and started using it for the Church of Jesus Christ. And that is why we are called a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, that we may declare the wonderful works of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's what we are. We are the Church of Jesus Christ. There is the local church, and there is the universal church. The local church is us in our community, gathering together, worshiping God together, fellowshipping together, helping one another together, as was described in Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47. We're not doing it exactly like they did it, because we live in a selfish world. Amen? And you're not saying amen. You know you're selfish a little bit. Amen? What will you do if I knock on your door and say, I'm staying at your house today? What if I brought 4 other people with me? It's going to destroy your plan and everything, right? Okay. Okay. We are a little bit different. So we're not doing it exactly as it was done in Acts, in the New Testament. But we should be open to the principle of what was given in that passage. And that's what we're trying to teach a local church. A local church, that is, we are in the same area, community. Some of you may come from Vallejo, some of you from Marin, some of you from Petaluma, some from Santa Rosa. But at least you can drive here. Amen. Amen. So it makes us a community, and we come together, we pray together, we worship together, we teach together. That's what we are. People in the church should not be suffering. If they're part of your church, they should not be suffering. That is not God's purpose for us. That's why we are a local church. But we also have a universal church. We have churches everywhere. We claim to be Baptists. And that's the reason why we claim to be Baptists. We'll get to it later. Okay? But there are Methodists, there are Anglicans, there are Church of God, there are Church of God in Christ, there's Presbyterian, there's all this. All these names, they are junk that we made up. You will not find it in the Bible. Amen. I remember one time I was trying to ordain a deacon, and I asked, where does the Baptist come from? He said, John the Baptist. He said, we're in the Bible. I said, will it surprise you if I told you that in the Greek it says John the Baptizer? He wasn't a Baptist. Okay? Okay. But all of these other denominations, and there are some churches that don't even want to belong to any denominations, as long as you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we are in the same family. When Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, I will build my church, he wasn't just talking about Village Baptist Church. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So that church is the Church of Jesus Christ in Africa, the Church of Jesus Christ in Honduras, the Church of Jesus Christ in Japan, the Church of Jesus Christ in China, the Church of Jesus Christ in, where did you just come from? You came from China, right? Lithuania before. So there is Church of Jesus Christ everywhere, and if they know Jesus as Lord and Savior, we are brothers and sisters. Amen. That's what we call the universal church. And I told you that the word church appears 114 times in the Bible, two times specifically to describe the universal church. That was what we did last week, okay? Then we went into covenant. I had the person that came forward to explain what covenant is, because we're talking about church covenant membership. And they said promise. And I kept asking for more. The reason why I asked for more is promise wasn't enough. You with me? I can make you a promise. You don't have to make me one. That's why when somebody else added, it's a vow, I said, oh, yes. Let's bring it up some more. Vow. Because in a vow, you're exchanging, right? You don't just you could make a vow to yourself, right? But you make a vow to somebody else. That's what you do in marriage. For better or for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness, and in health. It's amazing that the thinking of our society is now affecting the church instead of the godly thinking of the church affecting the society. The ungodly thinking of the society is now affecting the church. And you have more divorces in the church as much as you do in the world. It should not happen. Amen. It's a marriage. Deal with it. Amen. You had your eyes open when you went into it. You were so much in love. Love is blind, right? You just said that. But marriage will open your eyes. And when your eyes is open, your eyes are opened, you need to understand that it is a vow. Vow. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, if you make a vow and you don't keep it, God is not winking at you. He's not smiling at it. You got to keep it. It's better not to make a vow than to make it. Are you still with me? Don't fall asleep now. Don't fall asleep. Wake up, wake up, wake up. I'm excited. I don't know why you're not excited. So it's a vow, and somebody else said it's an agreement. It's an agreement. In the ancient Near East, when covenants were made, they were made either between a king and his subjects, between people that are not equal. Of course, we're making a covenant with God. We're not equal with God. And sometimes a covenant is made between equals in marriage. Amen. Some of you, when I say that, you say, oh, but the man is the head of the house. You guys need to understand what that means. Okay. Marriages break up because some of you Christians are too heavenly good and earthly useless. Amen. Or you don't really know how to interpret the passage you're quoting. It's not about marriage today, so I'm going to leave that alone. But the point is, sometimes vows are made, agreement made between two equals, as in the covenant. There are different type of covenants, and those who are in my Old Testament class know I went through that. But the main thing about covenant is it is an agreement that is made with your eyes wide open. You said, I'm going to do this, and the other person said, I will do this if you do that. That's what a covenant is. So we are in covenant. Amen? When I ask you why you're not tithing, don't tell me it's none of your business. We are in agreement. If you're not coming to church and I ask you why you're not coming, don't say, I don't have to explain to you. Yes, you do. Because we are in covenant. So covenant means you understand the relationship and you agree with the relationship. Amen? Is there anything I said last week that I forgot? You forgot. You're not going to help me with that. Okay. Okay, so we're going to move on. Who's going to help me today? We have roughly another, we're going to spend another 20 minutes together. Isn't that exciting? Yeah. Amen, amen. Any covenant member wants to answer questions? The ushers are ready with the mic, right? Okay, Mart, come up here.
Test, test.
All right. Okay, so the question.
You can face the congregation.
Okay, so the question, are all Christian churches the same? And I said, no. Okay.
Are all Christian churches the same? And you said no.
In terms of traditions, no. But in beliefs, they should be. In fundamental beliefs, they should be. But in, like, traditions, like whether or not we have, you know, baptized with dunking or sprinkling or have, communion every time we meet or periodically. What are some other traditions?
Okay.
You know, okay. I think they differ in that.
So in tradition, we're different?
Yes.
But in the essentials?
In the essentials, we should be the same, yes.
Okay. That was a bishop of Hippo. His name was Augustine. And he came up with a very beautiful way to describe this. Does anyone know it? No one knows it.
Would it be the
in essentials?
Would it be the creed?
The what?
The creed?
No, it was not the creed, the church creed. I started it. What will help you?
Basically, it says in essentials we're as one, and in the other tradition we give a bye.
You give a bye? Okay.
Yeah, we don't make a big fat deal out of it.
Okay.
As long as our essentials don't work.
Okay. The reason why I'm asking you is because I have repeated it several times here. So I figured that you will know it by now. Okay. Okay. He says, in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity. Okay. So that will explain what you're saying. So you are correct that we Should all churches be the same? When it comes to essentials, we should be the same. But when it comes to non-essentials, we should not judge the other church by the things that we want to die for that are not really that important. Are you following me? Okay, so basically, thank you. Thank you very much. So basically, what we are saying is this. All churches, yes and no, all churches are the same when it comes to essentials. When it comes to non-essentials, we are not the same, so we should give people the liberty to be what they are. Because if you go to some churches today, women will not be in leadership. You will not have a woman deacon. You will not have women preachers. You will not have women teachers as long as there are men in the classes. That is what they believe. We don't believe that. We believe that God calls everybody. God gives everybody the gifts, and there is no gift in the Bible that God says, I'm not going to give this to women. So we base it on that by saying, yes, we can have women deacons, we can have women preachers, we can have women teachers as long as they're called. Just because a person is a man doesn't mean it's okay to just accept them. Because there are some men who are wolves in sheep clothing. And you have to be careful. It doesn't matter who it is. So what are the essentials? To save time, I'm going to tell you. Okay, just to save time, I have other questions for you all. What are the essentials? The essentials are put in the doctrine form. It's not original with me, but doctrine. So if you break down the word doctrine, and you give each letter in the word doctrine to the essentials that we should all believe, this is what it boils down to. Number one, the deity of Christ. That Jesus Christ is not only the man that came in Nazareth, but he is also the God of the very God. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it said, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Full of what? Grace and what? Truth. So Jesus is God. He is fully man. He is also fully God. He can be asleep on a boat, and the disciples go to him and say, we don't understand why you're sleeping. We're just about to die. Look at this storm, this hurricane that came upon us. We're all going to die. And he can get up from the sleep and say, shh, be still. He can be on the cross and getting ready to die, and he can tell a thief that's on his side, today you will be with me in paradise. And we can have a lot of other things to say, but the Bible is full of the point that Jesus Christ is not just only man, but he is God. So don't deal with him like he was a baby in the manger. He's no longer a baby. Number two. The second letter stands for the original sin. Original sin. And I told you before, a lot of people don't like you calling them sinners. The Bible said, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The Bible also says what? There is none righteous, not even one. What does it mean when you say all have sinned? He didn't say some. The preacher has sinned. The deacon has sinned. The usher has sinned. You have sinned. Amen. And if you're a Christian and you think you're perfect, I want you to stand. Please let us know right now. Okay, I rest my case. For all I've sinned, the Bible doesn't lie. For all I've sinned and fall short of the glory of God. A lot of you, I know some people don't believe in the Bible. Some people don't believe that the Bible is the word of God. And we're going to have another time to talk about that. Okay. But is this, the Bible says we are all sinners. And that is why we all need God.
Amen.
And the C, of course, stands for what? The canon of Scripture. That God has given us his word. He's not a distant God out there that doesn't want to communicate with you. In fact, he loves you so much, he gave you something to guide you. I love the GPS. Amen. Long time ago, I used to stop at every gas station. Amen. And my wife and I were traveling and she's saying, it looks like we're going too far. I know what I'm doing. And then after a while, I said, I think I need to stop at the gas station. And she's so nice, she doesn't say anything. When I get out to go to the gas station to ask them for direction. God has helped us. He's given us something better than a GPS. Amen. Sometimes you go GPS, what they put in is what you get, right? Sometimes they're telling you to go to a place that's no longer there. But God's word never changes.
Amen.
Heaven and earth shall pass away, but what? Your word will never pass away. Forever your word stands in heaven. Jesus himself said that.
Amen.
The psalmist said, your word have I hid in my heart that I may not, what? Sin against you. The word of God. You know, God loves you so much. He gave you something. You don't even have to listen to me. All I'm doing is just teaching you what it says, helping you to understand. But you also have the Holy Spirit in you if you're a Christian. And the Holy Spirit will help you to understand the word. You just have to read it every day. And you have to believe that it is the word of God. And there are 66 books in it.
Amen.
Everything God does is so easy. Tells us to give 10%. If he told us 3%, some of you will be in trouble.
Yeah.
Can't calculate it. Amen. God didn't say 2.5%. You, these calculators going on at church every time. He just said 10%. All you have to do is just move the decimal point one place, and you're done. It doesn't matter how much it is. Just move the decimal point. Boom. It's done. That's how God is. He doesn't want to make your life miserable and all this. And if you don't want to give it to him, that's okay. He doesn't want it. Because he told us he wants only cheerful givers. Amen. When you come with your offering, you're supposed to be happy. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Cheerful givers.
Amen.
I could use this. I could use this for a trip to Hawaii. You already come in without faith.
Amen.
If you could use it, keep it. And use it for whatever else you want. God doesn't mind. But if you do need something, don't go to him. Amen, lights. Anyway, we're on the canon of scripture, yes. Right? Because there are 66, but God makes it so easy. He only gives us 66. Don't listen to those who put Apocrypha in there. They're trying to, you know, God makes things simple for us and we want to make it difficult. Why would you want to put a book in there that says Jesus was playing with his friends and they were flying kites and their kites went higher and Jesus got mad and he turned his kite into a bird? We already have 66 books, right? Some of you don't even know what Nehemiah is. Deal with the 66 books God has given to us and study that and do that. So it's the canon of scripture, doctrine. The T stands for the Trinity. Okay, that is a very difficult doctrine because we cannot philosophically explain it. If there's somebody in here that's got it together, you want to teach me, please teach me. I'm open. It's just a doctrine of scripture that if you study the Bible, it's very clear that it says that in the Godhead, there are three distinct persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father is God, but he is not God alone because God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Son is God, but he is not God alone because God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. Please get that right. He's not the wind of the Almighty God. He's not some force. And he's not an it. That's why a lot of our churches are messed up because we think the Holy Spirit is something we can control. I can't even control my grandson. He already has his mind. I said, well, Jojo, we need to eat something. No, I want rice and eggs. You can tell he's my grandson. Okay. And it doesn't matter how I try to convince him, he tells me this is what I like. Mommy already gave me this for breakfast, and I already ate this for lunch. Now I want eggs and rice. And he's very specific. Now, he's 7 years old, and I make this, and he said, I don't want the yolk. I can't even control a seven-year-old and tell them what they have to do. How you think you're going to control the Holy Spirit, who is God himself? We need to understand that. The Trinity. What does the R stand for? The R stands for resurrection. Resurrection. There is going to be a resurrection one day because there was a resurrection 2,000 years ago. That if I die today and you bury me in the ground, yes, my body may decompose and all that, but myself, my very self, is already with the Lord. But there's going to be a general one day resurrection of both the wicked and the righteous. Let me tell you this. We are all going to have eternal life. It's how you want to spend your eternal life. And that's the question. Amen?
Amen.
And we're all not going to live on the same streets in heaven.
Amen.
I'm going out of my preaching right now. Because you're going to be rewarded for what you do for God here. You're not going to get to heaven all of a sudden something will change.
Amen. Amen.
It's amazing how everybody that died was a good person. Every funeral you go to. Even drug dealers, they were good persons. He was a good person. He loved everybody. He killed about 20,000 with cocaine. See, really, I mean, we'll lose our minds. My time is gone. I have three more to go. Okay. So, resurrection, that is what we do when we baptize people. Every time we baptize people, we're showing to the world that we died to sin. We are buried. And we rise again.
Thank you, Lord.
To a powerful life. And that is showing what is going to happen to each one of us. If Jesus does not come, you are going to die. Amen. You can take all the Geritol, all the vitamins and everything you need. You can go to 24-hour nutless. You can do all the exercises, flexing and everything. You're going to die. And you're going to be buried. And the Bible says you are going to rise again.
Amen.
That's a general day of resurrection. In the Bible, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, it's just called the day. It's going to happen. You should be encouraged. When a person in your family dies, but they are Christians, you shouldn't be losing your mind like the world.
Amen. Amen.
There is hope.
Yes.
There's hope even after death. There is hope.
Yes.
And not only that, we know that God is faithful. He will not lie. He will tell us the things that we need to know, and he is going to make it full.
Amen.
What letter was that?
I.
I stands for the incarnation of Christ. John chapter 1 verse 14. Philippians chapter 2 verses 5-11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who though being equal with God, did not count equality with God something to hold on to. But he humbled himself and become what? Obedient. Incarnation. He emptied himself. That's what we call the kenosis. He emptied himself in order to save you and me from our miserable lives. Some of you are living miserable life, but you don't know it.
Amen.
I mean, we live in a world where people believe that the Ford company makes every Ford car.
Amen.
And people believe this device right here is called the Fitbit. It's a very marvelous device. Tells you how many steps you're taking. Can't keep up with this lady over there. But this Fitbit does not make itself. Is that true? But we live in a world where people believe that this gigantic globe that we live in just appeared. Nobody made it. There was just a bang. And this war just happened. Who made the bank? Bank just happened out of bank. Who made the bank out of the bank of the bank of the bank? It's silly the way we think sometimes. You see a paint, a picture, you know somebody painted it. You see all this beautiful sky and everything, then you became a philosopher. It just appeared. Don't get me going now. What did we just deal with? Incarnation. N is for new creation. Every church that doesn't believe that we are old and we need to become new. If anyone is in Christ, the Bible says what? He becomes what? New creation. You don't become a Christian because you go to a church. You don't become a Christian because you go to a church. Amen. A rat coming here won't be a Christian. Man, when you go in your garage, you don't turn into a car. No, you have, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in. This is God's plan, that you become a new creation. This is God's plan, that you become a brand new person. This is God's plan, that you become his friend. This is God's plan, that you spend all eternity with him. He loves you so much. And if you don't want him, he's not going to force you. He's not a stalker. Say, God, I don't want you. Good, keep going. Last but not the least, I love this. The E in doctrine stands for eschatology. That's a long, big word. That means the end times. God is going to come again. That's going to be a judgment day. That's going to be a celebration. That's going to be enjoying of Jesus Christ. We're going to see him face to face. Woo! I'm going to see him face to face. I'm going to experience what Peter experienced, what James experienced, what Philip experienced, what Bartholomew experienced, what Nathaniel experienced. I'm going to experience the same thing because God made the plan for me. Amen. We don't have time for anything else. So what we'll do, we'll go next time. Okay? I'm sorry. Let us bow our heads.